Okay, this year is called the Death of Korach. Okay, so we're going to start off in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, about a dozen lines from the bottom. Okay, the Omar Reb Yochanan, Korach, lo min habiluim velo min hasrufim. Korach was not of the people who were swallowed up by the earth. Okay, he was not. Velo min hasrufim. And he wasn't of those that got burnt to a fiery crisp. Okay. Rashi, Ella, so how did he die? Right? He didn't live forever. El b'magefa, mace. He died in the plague. Okay.
The plague.
The plague.
Wait, he wasn't swallowed?
He was not swallowed up.
Really?
And so he was not burnt.
The whole...
He was not swallowed up, but he was not burnt. He died in the magefa. Magefa was the next day. The next day,
they said, "Moshe, you took us out here just to kill us."
Oh, well, not to take us out. Just we'll see. We'll see. We're Kleisel. The next day, after everybody was swallowed up and burnt, so the next day, if you look in Perek, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Vav, Vayilonu Kol Das Bnei Yisrael Macharas Al Moshe Vel Aaron. The next day. After the whole events of Korach happened, and everybody swallowed and burnt, so the Bnei Yisrael complained, and they said, "Atem Amisim, Sam Hashem, you killed the nation of Hashem."
Killed past tense.
Yeah, past tense.
Oh, that's interesting.
They blamed him, and then
killed the nation of Hashem.
And then it says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Harim B'toch Eidah Zos V'Achalosam Karaga." God says, "Separate yourself. I'm going to kill them immediately." And then Moshe tells Aaron, take the machta with the fire and put the ketores, because heichel hanegaf, right? So the kiyatz hanegaf, ketzach milafnei Hashem, heichel hanegaf. So the plague started. So it was the next day, and a lot of people died in that plague, you know, until Aaron goes in the middle of it with the ketores and stops it. And that's where Korach died, according to Yochanan. Okay? A very difficult shita. Very strange shita. Okay? That's going to be the focus of the... So this year, probably the second half of this year. Okay, but now look what Rabbi Yochanan has to do in order to establish his pshat. Okay? He says, Lo min habaluin. He's not for the ones that are swallowed up. Dichsiv. Okay? Because it says in Pasuk Tez Zayin Lamed Beis, Vatifta ha'aretz es piha, Vativla osam ves batehem. So let's see. Pasuk... So the arts, the lands opened up its mouth and it swallowed them and their houses. It swallowed all the people that are with Korach and all their money. Right? So it's below Korach. So it's the, all the people that are with Korach, but it doesn't, not Korach himself. Okay.
Can you repeat that?
What's the limud?
Yeah.
Oh, so it says that the earth swallowed up all the people that are with Asher LeKorach, but not Korach himself. That's the implication. Okay, so he wasn't one of the ones swallowed up. It doesn't say he was swallowed up in Parshas Korach. That's somewhere else, but we'll get there. V'lo min hasrufim, and he wasn't one of the ones that are burnt. Okay, because three psukim later, in Pasuk Lamed Hei, it says, Ve'esh yatza me'es Hashem, and the fire burnt the 250 people who brought the ketoros. The lo korach, but not korach.
How did
it work? The lo korach. Reish nun hayu levad korach. There was 250 people besides for korach. Dichsiv chamish masayim machtos. That Moshe told them earlier. Take 250 machtos. Atav Aaron each machtosa. You and Aaron each machtosa. So there's 250 plus Aaron and korach. So total 252, right? Korach, Aaron, and then 250. But then when it says the fire went out, it says it burnt the 250 people. So you see, Korach wasn't one of the ones burnt. So he wasn't swallowed, he wasn't burnt. So when did he die? He must have died in the Magefa.
Yeah. Why are we assuming that?
Rashi says Magefa. I'm learning Rashi. He said, El Magefa Mace.
The Gemara. Why are they assuming that he died at all if it doesn't say that he died in another one?
Oh, I guess you don't hear from him again.
He's a Rashi.
Yeah.
Isn't he one of the people who just doesn't, you know, just suffering in hell?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, bottom level. Yeah.
Along with Voltaire.
Who's Nibble?
Well,
who is Nivra?
Who gets swallowed up is when it says exactly Dustin Aviram. It says
just then.
It says of a daber. It's it says in pasuk chav gimel. Chavdalim. It's a vidaber shem Moshe leimor daber kol ida leimor ha'elu misaviv mishkan korach dasim ve'aviram.
Why Korach?
That was Korach's camp. Korach's whole family got swallowed and all his stuff, just not Korach himself. Right. So it's dasim and aviram and all the people that are with Korach, except for 250 makrivei ketores.
Okay. So in total, there must have been more than just 250 people who were with Korach.
Yeah. Well, the 250 people were
they were the princes.
The Rosh Sanhedrin.
No, I mean the
two.
The CIA, you had the 250.
I'm not sure if they're all.
People...
No, I don't know if they're all Nisim. Just the Nasi, everything of Reuven.
Yeah.
250 people were the Rosh Sanhedrin.
Who were the people?
Really heads of courts, according to Rashi. Oh, well,
I mean, those 250 people, they weren't with Korah.
They were, but they were the ones who were makir the Ketores.
So they were. That's what
there were other people who were. Dasan Aviram didn't bring the Ketores. And there were people, those other people together with Korach. Korach had a huge following, a huge gathering.
I know, but I'm saying, according to what you're learning, that there were 252 people in total.
Who brought the Ketores.
No.
Oh, who brought the Ketores.
Yes, Aaron, Korach, and 250 others brought the Ketores in the fire pits.
Oh, I see.
Korach brought the Ketores?
Yes. Korach, Aaron, and 250
people. And he didn't die from there?
He did not die.
That defeats the whole point.
Right? Okay.
No, that defeats the whole point of the whole killing them.
It's Pasuk, what should we call it? It's Pasuk to Zion.
He's saying Aaron's not special. Anybody can do it.
That's a good question. Yeah, it's a good point.
And then he survives. That proves his point.
Right. Good point. Excellent point. It's very strange. The whole thing is very strange, right?
I think we need a shear.
Yeah. Very strange. Very difficult measures.
Yeah.
Okay. If you look in Pasuk to Zion, but Yom Moshe Korach, Ata, you, V'chol Adascha, Yuthnei Hashem, Ata, V'heim, Aaron Machar, you, them, and Aaron. So each one will take their fire pan. Each will have their own pan. 250 machtos. And you, the Aaron, each machtoso. You and Aaron, each one will have it. So it's 250 for his, 250 people plus Aaron and Korach. But then when the fire comes in, it only burns 250 people. So it wasn't, right? Okay, good. So that's Rabbi Yochanan Shita. That Korach wasn't swallowed. And he wasn't burnt in the fire. Rather, he died the next day in the Magefa. Okay. B'mas Nisa Tana, but in a brisa it says, Korach min hasrufim u'min abluin. He was both. Okay.
What?
He was one of the people who was burnt in the fire, and he was swallowed up by the earth.
Who said that?
The brisa.
Oh, the brisa.
Yes, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing a brisa.
So he died twice?
He died twice.
Uh-huh.
Sort of.
Interesting.
How does it work?
It's like a Marvel comic.
Yeah, Rashi says, how does it work? Is min ablu min asrufaya, shenisrufa nishmaso, so his neshama was burnt, v'gufkayim, but his body was still alive, v'achakach nisgagal and makam bluim, then he rolled in a fireball. A medrash fills that in. He rolled in the fireball to the place where they were being swallowed up. V'nivla, then he became swallowed up there. Okay. Why dichsiv? How do you know? The Gemara says, the braisa, dichsiv vativla osam. As Korach, right? It's an open pasuk. Okay, Dvarim, I think it's Yud Aleph Vav.
Oh, it's in
Dvarim, yeah. That's the thing. If you look in Bamidbar only, you know, you might have an argument for Yochanan. It's a little funny, but.
Where am I?
If you look in Yud Aleph Vav in Dvarim, it says, V'asher also dasam v'yam b'nei Eliyah ben Ruvin, asher potza artes pia. The earth opened up its mouth, it swallowed them, dasan viram, right? And vesbatehem, vesaleim, their houses, their tents.
Doesn't say.
Oh, wait, hold on a second. It doesn't say. What's going on?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Hold on. I should have looked at this inside. I trusted this. Oh, it's in Pinchas, Chavav. Okay, fine, good.
I guess
so. Yeah. Let's go to Pinchas. Chavav.
They were taller than us. I could just like, oh, this part they didn't have. This is part was added later. I have an Abikar.
Which parak?
Chavav.
Plus
a tes. Ubnei liyev nemuah v'dasam aviram. Who dasam avim kriya ha'ida? Asher hitzo Moshe va'aron ba'adas karach batzis emal shem. Right? Va'tifta haritzis pia. So aritz pasuk yud. Pasuk tesin yud. Per chavav in ba'midbar. So tesin yud. Va'tifta haritzis pia. Va'tivla osam. Ves korach. So the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them. And korach. B'mos eida.
Oh boy.
Ba'achal ha'ish. Es chamishim asayim ish. Va'yulanes. When the fire ate the 250 people. Consumed. And they were like a symbol. You see, it openly says that it swallowed them and Korach. Right?
What does it say by the fire? Does it say consumed Korach? Or just says 250 there?
Right, 250. There it says, it says, Vativla osam ves Korach ben Mosa Ida, Bachol ha'ish, es chamishim osayim ish, ha'yulanes. Okay.
Is that why is the price?
Okay, I have an answer.
Hold on. Let's just finish the price. Hold on. Let's not get excited. Let's not get too excited. Everybody's very excited. Very excited. Okay.
The price, how is the price of learning that his neshama got burned?
With the fire.
What?
It killed him internally. You know, like his life. Let's just say...
Like another.
I understand that, but like, the pasuk just says that 250 people who bought the Torahs, and we learned that it doesn't mean...
But that was Rabbi Yochanan.
I know, but...
Okay, fine. But the brisa, hold on, let's finish the brisa. Okay, and min ha-strufim, how you know that Korach was also from the strufim. Dechziv eish yatzam eitz Hashem batochas chamishim umasayim ish v'korach badayu, the 250 people, and Korach must have been one of them. Rashi.
What?
Midechziv batocha es chamishim umasayim ish makrive ketoras, the 250 people were makrive ketoras, v'korach makrive ketoras ave. Here's one of the makrive ketoras. Dechziv chamishim umasayim machtos v'atvaron ish machtoso. So I guess, I'm not sure if the Brace is learning that Korach is included in the 250 people.
One guy just left.
No. Meaning, when it was saying 250, you and Aaron, is it 200? Really 252, or is it really 251? Meaning, was it 250 plus Korach and Aaron, or 250 including in the Ata you Korach are part of the 250, and Aaron is the is the additional one.
Well, it says 250
the Ata. Yeah, right. That's Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, but the Bryce is learning. It means it's included. Okay.
That's the whole unit.
That's not acceptable.
Inami v'es the rabbis korach imam. There's a reboy v'es. Okay. Korach also got included. Fine. Whatever. Okay. Fine. Now, how does Rabbi Yochanan explain the open pasuk in Pinchas, which says "Vativla osam v'es korach b'mosa ida"? Like it says openly that Korach was swallowed with dust and aviram. So Rabbi Yochanan d'amar lo mina blum v'lo mina srufim darish le'lahai v'es korach la'acharav. The Ves Korach is going on the next part. Ves Korach b'mos eidah magefa. That's a Rashi knows eidah magefa. So the way you have to read the pasuk according to Rabbi Yochanan is Vativta haaretz es piyah vativla osam. The land, the earth opened up its mouth and it swallowed them. Ves Korach b'mos eidah. And Korach when the eidah died in the magefa. It's not the smoothest reading. Ves Korach b'mos eidah. Well, that's how Rashi's learning it, okay? So we're not going to get involved in who's the smoother reading. The biggest problem with Rabbi Yochanan is a little strange, you know? It's a little strange. Why didn't he die in either one? He's till the next day, till the Magefo, when they all complain.
It defeats the whole point.
It's very strange, yeah. It defeats the whole point. Because the whole point that he's showing, Moshe saying, look, Aaron's the right one, where's Korach? And then the 250 people, it's a real problem, right? Okay, and we also like to understand, I'm going to start with, is what's the brisa? Why was he both? What's the pshat that he was both? Okay, yeah, go ahead, Yaakov.
Just pshat-wise, wouldn't it be easiest to say he died, he was nivlev and not nisov?
He was what?
Because it's an open pasuk.
Right.
Yeah.
He was what?
Look, simple pshat, why was he was nivla, he was swallowed, but not nisrov.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to go with simple pshat in the pasuk, it's pretty open in pesukim that he was nivla. Because it says Mishkan Korach Atasan Aviram. Then later on in Pinchas it says that Korach was actually swallowed, pretty openly in Pasuk. And it really says he was burnt. So simple pshat in the Pasuk is yes, but nobody learned simple pshat. Right. Okay, that's for the Ibn Ezra. What?
Apparently it's not an option.
No, we're learning Midrashim now. Okay, it's not an option. That's not what we do here. Okay? Okay. Okay, fine.
So your problem according to Rabbi Yochanan is why both?
No, that's the brisa. The question is, let's start with the brisa. The problem with the brisa is what's the pshat? Why was it both?
Because the whole The whole reason for the Ketores was to show that no one could bring the Ketores except for Aaron, that he was appointed by God.
Okay, good.
And the point of the pit was to show that everything that Moshe says, Moshe's not just making anything up. So it's important that both things get disproven.
Okay, good.
So it was necessary for him to both be burned from the Ketores, and that he, but he couldn't survive not being swallowed in the pit, because that would mean that his message of Moshe lo MS, but Visaraso MS.
Moshe MS, Visaraso MS. That was weird. Yeah. Weird.
I remember.
Excellent. Very good. What?
What?
No, it's very good. Very good. So, really the pshat is that there's two groups. It's not an accident that they didn't die in the same way. Because really there was two groups here. Because what was Korach's message? When Korach Dasan Avirim first approached Moshe, right? They say to Moshe, let's see, Korach. They say, in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Gimel, right? They all approach him, everybody approaches him, all together. Vayikalu Moshe va'Aaron, the 250 people, Korach, Dasan, Aviram. Vayomer Aleihem, right, this Korach's whole posse. Rav Lachem, they say to Moshe and Aaron, that's a lot. Ki kol eidakum kedoshim, b'sochem Hashem, v'madu tisnas v'kal Hashem. So they really had two claims. Kol eidakum kedoshim, b'sochem Hashem. Right, the holy does kedoshim, right, meaning, why did you take the, let's say like the Ramban, why did you take the Avoda from the Rav Rashi also, from the Bechoros, give it just to your Shevet Levi. Why is your brother Aaron just a Kohen Gadol? Rashi learns they all wanted to be Kohen Gadolim, right? Ramban learns that he's a little bit more focused on Levium and the Bechoros. But it was essentially it was against the institution of Levi and Kahuna. That's one claim. Kolei the Kohen Gadoshim, Soch Hashem. Why are you limiting Levi and Kahuna just to a small sect of Klal Yisrael? Okay. And the second attack was, why are you elevating yourself over God's congregation? Why are you taking power to yourself? Okay, now these two groups, they really split up, right? The ones who are really after the Kahuna and the Levia, that's really the Makrive Ketores, because they're the ones competing with Aaron to see who's going to really be the one who got selected for the Kahuna. And you see, and Dasan and Aviram weren't part of that. Dasan and Aviram, like we once said, they were the heads of a political party, the anti-Moshe Rabbeinu party, right? And they started, according to Rashi, all the way back in Mitzrayim, right? When the Mitzri says, "Me samcha shtar v'shofet aleihem argenu atomer, who made you the one over us," right? They had problems with authority, Dasan and Aviram. They certainly never liked Moshe taking authority, even from the time beginning, before, right from the beginning when he killed the Egyptian in Parsha Shmos. And they're the ones who said to him, again, according to the Midrashim, by Yer Hashem Aleichem V'Yishvot, when he came out from the end of Parshas Shmos, right before Veira, right when the Paro made the Avoda harder on them, right, because the straw, when Moshe Rabbeinu first came, they're the ones who approached him and attacked him.
They also did the man.
They're the ones who put away the man. Remember we said it's because they had their own political party. The greatest danger to them and their power was the man, because now the whole food supply of Klal Yisrael was in the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, so that was really what undermined their authority. You don't really hear from them again after the man. Once they lost the ability to store away the man, they lost control of the food. Right, they really undermined their ability. You can't rebel against Moshe, basically, because he's the one who controls the food. Right, and then and ultimately, but there was always this resentment. And once they had the right after the Meraglim, right, it was right after the story of the Meraglim, and they were basically nigzar that they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's when Korach took over, so to speak. He manipulated Dasan Aviram, who's a master manipulator, Korach, and he manipulated Dasan Aviram and the rest of their party in order to basically go attack Moshe, right? Tried to basically put together a conglomerate. He took the anti-Moshe Rabbeinu party, which is Dasan Aviram, plus the people who were upset about the Kahuna and the Levia going to just Shevet Levi and Aaron. And he put those two groups together with him at the lead. That was Korach's genius, political genius. And he went against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron together.
What was his political genius?
He was able to put together different parties to create a Tziruf. Yeah, to create a Greg, exactly. government with him in charge to get together a majority, you know, and get together, you know, rally the people behind him with these claims that he was acting in their own best interests, right? So that was those two groups, and therefore there was two separate groups, and therefore they each got their own punishment. The Makrivei Ketores got Sreifa, like Nadav and Avihu. And the ones who attacked Moshe, which is really headed by Dathan and Aviram and their people, they were swallowed up by the earth. Okay, those are the ones who were attacking Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Two separate groups, two separate Mises. Now, why did Korach get both, according to the Braisa? Because ultimately, he was the one responsible for both. Right? He was the one responsible for both of them, for instigating both of them. Okay, and there's a Medrash Rabbah, B'Midbar Rabbah, Yudches Yates. It says, the Korach Laka Yosem Mikulam Shinisraf Nivla. So it's in line with this Braisa, the Medrash, right? That it was both Sreifa and Blia. V'lama Nasba Shtedin. And why did he have both? She'ilu Nisraf Lo Nivla Hayoblu Misramim Shaloi V'yolem as Kol Paranos as Ela Korach. If he was just Nivla and Nisraf, but not Nivla, so the Blum would complain, he's the one who brought this all on us, and why does he get away from it? He doesn't get our punishments. Right? They're swallowed, and he's Nitzel. V'hein Nivla, who Nitzel? Not right? V'ilu Nivla, v'lo Nisraf, ha'yisruf v'misram, v'shalei v'leim el peronas elezeh, v'hein Nisraf, v'hu Nitzel, v'fi yach nidam v'shtem Isos. Therefore, you got both. Okay, and then it goes through the scribes a little more in depth than Rashi, how exactly you work out both Misos. But the point is, he was in charge of both of them. He combined the two. And he really deserved both punishments. Really, the other two were two separate groups. Each one had their own agenda. And Korach manipulated them both, put them together. So he deserved both. And that makes sense. Okay? That's the Braisa. Okay? Whether the Psukim simple pshat bears it out, or whatever. It's certainly a lot closer to the Braisa than it is to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? But there's a sense to it. The problem with Rabbi Yochanan is twofold. One is, he's totally against the Psukim. Okay? And more so,
Rabbi Yochanan says he was just swallowed.
Rabbi Yochanan says he was neither.
Yeah.
He died the next day in the Megefa. Okay? So the Psukim, it's like, what is motivating? The question, this is a real problem. Okay? Three problems with Rabbi Yochanan. Really two. Okay? Is, what is motivating Rabbi Yochanan? Okay? Because the Psukim seem against it. It's open Pasuk, he swallowed more or less. Right? Now look, yes, you could butcher the Pasuk and cut it in half and put the Korach, the Es Korach, you could butcher the pasuk a little bit, but certainly he's not being motivated by simple pshat in terms of reading the psukim. And what's the sense in what's going on? A common sense is he should get one, the other, or both, but to have neither and die the next day when the magifa comes and wipes out people for complaining after misim asam Hashem, right? The next day after this, after everybody, right? After they're swallowed up and 250 people. Are burnt up. The next day, they all gather and they say, Atem Yisra'am Hashem against Moshe and Aaron. And then the Magifa goes out. A lot of people die in that Magifa. And then Korach dies. You know, let's say they hadn't done that. They hadn't complained. That had been Magifa. He's going to still be alive. Where's the justice in the whole thing? It makes no sense. So what is motivating Rabbi Yochanan to say it? It's not in line with the Pesukim. I mean, it's not in line with common sense. The whole thing is very difficult.
I think,
okay, yeah, he's in line with the Pesukim. Go ahead.
In the original Pesukim,
yeah,
meaning when the event's taking place, not later in Devarim, it said he wasn't swallowed and he wasn't burnt.
He wasn't swallowed.
In the original.
It doesn't openly say he was swallowed. It seems pretty clear he was swallowed.
No, it doesn't.
In the original, I think it's Mashmal he was. Because look, it says, and Pasuk Chavdal, Hashem says to Moshe, "Dabel Eida Lemor, Hey Alu Misaviv LeMishkan Korach Dasan Aviram." So get away from there, Mishkan. Korach Dasan Aviram. Okay, and then it says, "Vayei Alu and Chavzai May Al Mishkan Korach Dasan Aviram." Right? Then it's true. Dasan Aviram Yatsun Itzav and Pesach Aleim. Just they were going out complaining. All of a sudden, Korach's not there. It's true.
Right.
And then it says, "Vatiftach Artzis Pia Vativla Osam Ves Batayim Ves Kol Dem Asher LeKorach Beis Kol Rechush." It says everybody with Korach, but not Korach. Okay, I mean...
No, that makes sense.
All right, you mean Korach wasn't home at that moment. Okay. I don't know. All right. It's,
what's
look,
your...
But it says openly in Parashas Pinchas.
Right, so I think the reason why...
wait, before you give an answer, what's your question exactly?
On Rabbi Yochanan, what is motivating Rabbi Yochanan? What is doing? The psukim seem to indicate anything that at least he was swallowed. Certainly in Parashas Pinchas, it pretty openly says it. Okay, hold on. And look, what's the sense in the whole thing? It's, the bigger problem is it seems crazy. Korach deserved to both. The Bryce is absolutely correct. And Rabbi Yochanan's not even like, he's going to argue against the Bryce and Tanayim, Midrash and Rabbi Yochanan. What is motivating Rabbi Yochanan?
To say that
he wasn't swallowed, nor was he burnt. He's going against the Tanayim, going against Simple Pshan the Psukim, and the whole thing seems to make no sense. Yeah, go ahead.
So, I actually think that he's doing the Simple Pshan and the Psukim, and the Bryce is the one who's not doing Simple Pshan. And the reason why the Bryce comes up with this Pshan is because of their system is that Korach has to be punished for both. Right? So, I'm thinking that Rabbi Yochanan does not accept that premise. He says, what he's saying is that Korach honestly believed what he was saying. Unlike those other people who are just a political movement, he honestly believed, Moshe, how do you know that this is the way it is? How do we know that you're not just making this up?
Korach was a Navi, you know.
I mean, hello, honestly, people feeling each other is a good thing, too.
Right, so he was honest about this.
An honest guy, Korach, very honest.
Right, and so he didn't deserve this punishment.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, Korach.
And if
he was a Navi.
No, if you think about it, how is he supposed to know that everything that God, that everything that Moshe says God told them, God actually told them. Maybe God only cares about knowing the fundamentals. And like, okay, we know the fundamentals, but how do we know? You think God really cares about whether you do this? So he was an honest guy.
Right.
And he therefore did not deserve this punishment. And therefore...
But he got into my geifa, though. And, he did
right,
get into my geifa.
Right. So the reason is, once that happens, the leader is going to... Since he was an honest guy, if he doesn't die, but he sees this happen to everyone else, if he doesn't get swallowed, but he sees it happen to everyone else, he's going to realize he's wrong. And then this leader of the movement is going to say, since he was an honest guy, I was wrong. That's going to have a pretty powerful impact.
I have another answer.
And the reason why it says later in Pinchas that he got swallowed is because his movement, the idea of Korach, what he stood for, got swallowed when that event occurred.
The idea of Korach got swallowed.
Meaning what he was proposing.
Swallowed an effigy.
Yeah, no, meaning the idea that Moshe is just adding to the Torah
right.
got destroyed and swallowed when everyone else got swallowed.
It's like more of like a metaphorical
yes.
swallowing.
Yes.
Not bad. A little daichek, but not bad. Okay, yeah.
I just want to make Korach be the good guy.
I understand what you're doing. Very good. It's quite the achievement.
I just have a question on the Bryce.
The Torah really goes after him.
Yeah, what's up?
Question on the Bryce. Yeah, go. Okay, so I don't want to say a shot. So why did Korach have to... To get neither one, why?
Because it's I'm not sure exactly, but it could be either it could be a punishment for him to maybe to see his whole agenda falling apart, you know, and that in itself is a punishment.
Right.
And obviously, he'll be killed, through
the next day.
The next day.
Right.
Or you can say that it's since he does see his whole agenda falling apart, maybe that could be a wake-up call for him and he could do tshuva.
He could do tshuva. Okay, and then he just died the next day because he didn't do tshuva or something.
Something like that. We could question and answer.
Because the first, basically, the Chassam Sofer wants to say something like that.
Yeah, I like the Chassam Sofer.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
The Gadol.
He spoke about the Korban Pesach.
I'm aware of that. Big tshuva. No, so he wanted to say something like that, that's like the biggest onus for Korach. That everybody died, and he was humiliated, and he was shown right. to be a charlatan, and that was like and he had no more money, all his possessions are wiped out, his family, his friends, everything, and that those 24 hours until he died, that was like the greatest torture for him at all ever,
It's also a lesson to everyone else. Look at this penniless.
Penniless guy, and his prestige and his honor
meaning,
was totally decimated.
In the olden days, after they would kill someone.
Tar and feather him, probably.
Or they would leave the body hanging.
Ooh, baby.
Well, he wasn't dead yet, but...
No, my point is, why would they leave the body hanging?
To make it a demonstration show, right, gets the message. So the Chassam Sofer wants to say that was the greatest onus for Korach. Not to just let him die quickly with everybody else, but let him hang around for another day to suffer and to really be humiliated. And it's the ultimate onus for Korach. Okay, and then, all right, it's interesting. It's an interesting approach. I'm going to take a different approach. But that's, you know, but the Ariel and the Chassam Sofer, two very good, you know, very good people, right? Very good approach. Okay, or you could say it's for him to tshuva. It's a little strange why he gets a chance to tshuva. Nobody else does. In general, that would go against
according to the midrash. The same thing happened with
Paro. Oh, good. We're going there. Ooh. We're going where? By where?
Yasa.
Oh, that's where we're going. Did you see my notes? Oh, very good. Okay, good. We're going there. Hi. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Okay, good. So, okay, good. So that's one possible approach. Okay, but I'm gonna go with Chaim's approach. Okay, close, very close.
I just say
no, not for Korach. No, okay, you can't. I don't think you could say a second possibility because that goes against the halacha. That as a machti as a rabbin is ema speaking via delasos tshuva. So you can't say that. That's earlier in Sanhedrin. So Rambam hechos tshuva per dollar. No, you can't give a Korach a chance to tshuva. It doesn't make sense, but. Well, let's see. It's for everybody else. Okay, so we're going to go with follow up Chaim's approach here. Okay,
what's his approach?
Well, we'll see. Okay, so first, this is a Pesach shir also. Do you know what I mean? It's Pesach is coming, so we're going to do a little, you know, Pesach here.
Are we going to have shir next week, by the way?
No, it's Bedika. It's impossible. Ooh. Okay, so if you look in Shemot in Bishalach, okay, so it says like this. Is Perek Yudalid begins like this. Vayidavr Shem Moshe Lemor. After Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. Vayidavr Shem Moshe Lemor. Dabra Bnei Yisrael vayashuvu v'yachanu f'mei piachiros. Okay. So let the Klal Yisrael turn around, go backwards. And they should camp in front of piachiros b'yimigdala b'en ayam. Lifnei Baal Tzifon nichachos achanu ayam. In front of Baal Tzifon. When he said Baal Tzifon is in Avodah Zarah. Right, like every other Avodah Zarah is called Baal. Presumably something in the north. Okay. So, and they camped in front of them, in front of Baal Tzifon. Now, what's funny is, obviously, why are they camping in front of Baal Tzifon? Right? Why is...
To confuse them.
Right, but simple, right? That's what's motivating. Right, that's what motivates Rashi. But in theory, you're not even allowed to reference a place by an Avodah Zarah. Al Tifnei Lila, right?
No, that's only if it's current.
But it was there. Baal Tzifon was there.
No, but that's only if the Avodah Zarah is still relevant. It is still. Not when the Torah was written.
What?
Oh, you mean if the Torah?
Yeah.
But when God said, okay, fine, you don't have to worry about that question. I think when God said it was a problem. How could God say it? Okay, fine.
The Torah wasn't written then.
When God said it to them?
When God said what?
To them, go to camp by Baal Tzifon. Okay, don't worry about it.
Who said he said Baal Tzifon? It refers to stuff in the Torah as
it says, Lifnei Baal Tzifon.
And we know it wasn't called Ramses.
No, it says Lifnei Baal Tzifon. Okay, listen, that's not to bother you.
Separate share.
Okay, and the bigger problem is, weren't all the Avodah Zarah destroyed in the
He left that Makkos one. Bechoros? He left that one.
Yes, no, okay, good, you're good. You're holding in Rashi. It's very good. Very good. Okay, so Rashi says, like Chaim, okay, Rashi is Chaim's pshat. Rashi's like this, Livnei Baal Tzifon.
It's almost as if I wrote Rashi.
Hu nishar mikol Elohei Mitzrayim. So this is the one that's left over from all the gods of Egypt. All the other gods are destroyed except for this one, Kedei Lahatosa, in order to trick them, Shiomru, Kashi Yerasan, their Avodah Zarah is difficult, Valav Pirashiyav Mashki Gaim Vayabdem. Okay, confuses the Gaim and destroys them. Okay, so this one of Avodah Zarah was left alone, and then Hashem says, V'yamar Paro Livnei Yisrael, and Paro's going to say about Bnei Yisrael, Nefuchim Baretz, they're going backwards, Sagarlim and Midbar, the Chizaki is lay power of Achareim, and God's going to strengthen Paro's heart, he's going to chase after them. Okay, good. Those are the psukim. So they went back, and they start traveling backwards towards Egypt, looking all confused. And they're camping in front of Avodah Zarah, and this is the one of Avodah Zarah left over. Okay? And it's going to be told to Paro, you go to Mech Mitzrayim. It's told Paro, they're telling about this, about the phone, they're going backwards. And Paro, in fact, like Hashem predicted, exactly what happens. Oh. Okay, so I'm going to try to learn this according to Ramban. These are this Rashi, this Medrash according to Ramban, the way Ramban learns, okay? Rashi, I think, is a little bit different. But I'm trying to bring an idea which we're going to apply to Korach, okay? It'll be pretty obvious, but don't think it was easy to make the connection. Well, you got it pretty quick. Maybe it was easier than I thought. Okay, so the Ramban is in Perek Zion, in Parshas Vayera, Pasuk Gimel, okay? So the Ramban says, in the middle of the Ramban, he says, "V'hinei perishu b'shelah sheyishalokol." He's going to explain a question everybody asks. Im Hashem hikshas libo ma pisho. If Hashem hardened Pharaoh's heart, what was his sin? He didn't have a choice. God forced him to do it. Okay. So the Ramban's answer, right? The Rambam is one answer. Ramban's answer is Atamasheni. Ki hayuchatzi makos alav v'pisho. The first half of the makos he did himself. Kilo nemar behemrak vayichazik lev paro. Vayach be paro's libo. It says Paro himself hardened his own heart. He didn't want to send them out for Kvod Hashem, Kiddush Hashem, like he should have. Avakasher gavril of Hamakos v'nil lizbosam, when the Makos overpowered him and he became weary, he couldn't take them anymore. Rach libo, his heart weakened. V'haya nimlach l'shacham mikovet Hamakos. So he really decided he was changing his opinion. He was going to send them out because of the severity of the Makos. Lo lasos son zambor, not for the right reason, because God commanded him for Kvod Hashem. But because he just couldn't handle the suffering, and then God basically gave him the power to bear the makos, okay, in order that everybody should be able to see, in order to write v'his kaddishi v'nodat v'negayim, to create a kiddush Hashem. He wouldn't just give in. Basically, Pharaoh was given a choice. He was given according to Ramban, he was given the free will, because basically the makos were overwhelming. The emotional impact of the makos on Paro basically should have taken away his free will. Okay, and basically Paro was given the choice, the free will, to decide whether to do it for the right reason or not. Either he'd be mekayesh Hashem Hashem by doing it for the Ritzon Hashem, or he'd be mekayesh Hashem Hashem by ultimately being destroyed and suffering as like what happened. Okay, and Manos continues. He says, ki bechamesh makos achronos gam betvi betivas yam nevei chazik Hashem, right? That God strengthened his heart. Right, that in the first five, Paro did himself, but in the last five and on the Yamsuf, it was Hashem himself who was strengthening Paro's heart. Okay. Now, what I'd like to say is according to the Ramban, right, the way Hashem strengthened Paro's heart in order to give him free will. Okay, yes, there's an element of an ace. Okay, but there's also an element of doing it through natural causes. Right, creating, as we see, like by the Yom Sif, where it's openly the Chizakti is Leif Paro, and Ramban quotes that as one of his sources that God forced Paro, Pasuk Dalet. But Pasuk Beis and Gimel is God telling Moshe this whole plan: go backwards, camp in front of the idol.
What's the first Pasuk? If he forced Paro to what?
In Parshas Beshalach, Pasuk Beis and Gimel, and Pasuk Perak Yedalet, Beis and Gimel. It tells them, go backwards towards Mitzrayim, yeah. Camp in front of Baal Tzafon, and then God says, I'll harden his heart, and he's going to chase after you. Okay? So, the hardening of Paro's heart was a combination of a miracle, to some degree, that is Ashkacha, but it's also being facilitated through natural causes, right? By Kleisel, in a sense, trapping Paro, by going backwards, and by Hashem leaving over, right, one of the Avodah Zarahs in Egypt, the only one of Avodah Zarah in Egypt, so that Paro and the Egyptians can say, Kasha Yerasam.
But it doesn't work, because the hardening of the heart would have to be after those two psukim in order for it to make sense, what you're saying.
But it is, with the hardening of the heart?
It's before.
It's Pasuk Dalet, it's after. But I don't think
it is after?
It is, but I don't think it matters.
Okay, so that works.
Okay, good.
It makes you stir.
If it makes you happy? I just want you to be happy. That's fine. Okay, so it's Kasha Yerasam. They're going to use the theory of Kasha Yerasam, that this Avodah Zarah, right, why is this, every other Avodah Zarah in Egypt melted, the metal ones melted, the wooden ones rotted, right, in Makos Bechoros, they're all just Becholah Himitzrayim, Meseh Shvatim. One Avodah Zarah is left over. How do you explain that? Obviously, this Avodah Zarah is just as strong, is stronger, than the God of the Jews, right? That's how it's explained. And then Klal Yisrael, you see, is going backwards, and then there's camping right in front of. Do you think it's a coincidence that they're getting lost and they end up stuck right at the Avodah Zarah, the one Avodah Zarah that's standing? That's quite the coincidence. It's hard to believe that in all the whole world they just got lost. They start wandering around. The one place they get stuck and can't move is in front of the Avodah Zarah.
It's the fine-tuning argument of Baal's phone.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. It's not logical. It's not rational. It would not be rational to posit that it was a complete coincidence. And it wasn't a coincidence, right? It wasn't, because God, in fact, told them, do it in order to trick them. But it's Paro is making this argument. It's not reasonable to assume that there's only one of all the Tzar left standing. Okay, if this God of the Jews is all powerful, one of them he can't get. How do you explain that? And they're getting lost. They're going backwards. Why are they doing that? They're not planning on coming back. Why are they not leaving? And they end up in the one spot in the whole world, right in front of the one of all the Tzar's left standing. Clearly, this evil desire is too strong for them. He's bringing our enemies right to him and telling us, go chase after them, you'll get your money back. Okay? And that's... Now, would that have been enough, just this argument? It might have had a little help from God, but it was a factor. It was a factor in restoring Pyro's Bechira to him, was this whole elaborate ploy, okay, in order to do it. Good? Okay, that's a little Pesach for our Torah. Now, let's say, as you take this idea, okay... Very good, very good. Okay, good. So now...
Can we say it over the Seder?
Yeah. You'll say the second night. You'll get it, Ariel. Okay, we'll give you the opportunity.
Are you coming?
What?
For Seder?
Okay, so I'll take this. Let's take this Baal Tzifon idea, and we're going to apply it to Parshas Korach. Okay, the same type of move. Okay, now what happened here?
Oh.
Okay, this is basically working out your
Tzachah.
That's clever. Yeah, well, it's your idea, time. Okay. So this is what we want to say, okay, is that...
To confuse everybody.
No. Okay, almost your idea. Okay.
And make everybody think...
Is there's an idea, like Ramban's idea, is that sometimes a person can lose their free will because they're overwhelmed by an emotional experience. Mm-hmm. And they're compelled by the emotion, by fear, or by suffering, they're compelled to follow a particular path. And that's not free will. That's not Bechir Chafshus. Free will is a person gets to choose, and they have their emotions are not really compelling them one direction or the other. Okay, they could be pulling them in one direction or the other, but they're not compelling them. They're not overwhelmed. Okay, and then they're able to use their mind to choose what reality do they want to embrace. Okay, but if your emotions are overwhelmed by fear or desire, right? Taiva can overwhelm a person, make him an ones, yitzra takfo. Or fear or suffering, right? So the person simply can't choose freely. Now, Klal Yisrael was manipulated by Korach, okay? Not just his 250 people on Dasan Aviram's, but ultimately he got most of Klal Yisrael behind him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why there was a Magefa?
No, even before that, before the Magefa.
No, that's why there was.
Before the Magefa. Okay, before the Magefa, it says in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Chaf. Okay, Perek Pasuk Yates. After the Ish Machtaso, right? Pasuk Yates. Vayikach Ish Machtaso v'ino lem Ish. After they did this thing, Vayis Simulei Ketores. Vayamdu Pesach Ol Moed Moshe Aaron. Okay, so it says Vayakel lem Korach Es Kol Eida Al Pesach Ol Moed. Vayer Kvod Hashem Al Kol Eida. So Korach gathered together as Kol Eida, right? And Rashi says, "Vayakel aleim korach, but divrei tzanis kol lailahu halach etz l'shvatim u'pasechosim kitzur matim shalaila vade eni makbid." Korach went to all the shvatim. He says, "You think I'm worried just about myself? Eni makbid el b'shvil korach. I'm worried about you guys. Ilu boyim ve'elu boyim v'nelin kol gedulos lo hamalchus lachav kahuna ad shenis pasu kulam." So basically, he seduced, he convinced all of Klal Yisrael, all the shvatim. Okay, presumably not all of them, but the majority, it says Kol Eida, right? And then the next pasuk, Vaydash Moshe Leimor, he bud lemitoch Eida Zotz, v'achala sam karaga, right? It is separate, I'm going to kill them all. This is before the whole balua, the whole swallowing and everything. And then Vayiplu Alpanem, Vayomra Kela Lekei Ruchos, L'chol Basra, Ish Echad Yechadeva, Kol Eida Tiktsof, right? If there's one person, is the Chote Korach, and you're going to kill everybody. Right here, Ramban and Ramban S, I think. I haven't seen this from Ramban in a while. So what is the theory? He says, really, they're all Chayiv Misa for following Korach. Just Moshe's argument was, really, it's what's a leader. There's one leader. It's a cult leader. Okay, if you can knock off the leader, the rest of them will go back. They're just being manipulated by him. You don't have to kill them all. You can just get Korach. But ultimately, they're all Chayiv Misa.
Why was there a Magefa?
The Magefa is later. Magefa is later. It was from when they approached him again. This is before... This is on the first day. This is before the fire and the swallowing up.
Oh, he
Hashem wanted to kill them twice.
God says, separate yourself.
He says, right? Hashem says to Moshe and Aaron, separate yourself, mitoch eidah zos, separate yourself from Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to destroy all of Klal Yisrael.
Yeah.
And Moshe and Aaron daven and say, don't destroy all of Klal Yisrael. We'll just go after Korach. And then by Darshan Moshe Lemur, Dabal Eidah Lemur, Heyal Amisav Mishkan Korach V'adasam.
Then God says, then when they complained, they showed that it wasn't just Lemur.
Hold on. You're always trying to guess. Oh. Forget it. Okay. So God says, first God wants to destroy the whole Eidah. Then Moshe and Aaron daven for the Eidah. And God says, tell the Eidah to separate from Korach Dasan Abiram. Because God heard their tefillos, that really it's the leaders. The leaders are the ones who are the problem. Okay? But Korach had manipulated all of Klal Yisrael. So all of Klal Yisrael was involved with Korach. They were following behind him. Okay? So what happens, right? This whole thing was a demonstration of who's the Kohen Gadol. Who's the Kohen Gadol? Is Eis Hashem Yivchar Hashem Hu HaKadosh? Right? Is it going to be Aaron, Korach, the 250 Makri Victors? Who's going to be the Kohen Gadol? Who's going to be saved? Everybody gets killed, except for Aaron and Korach. Right? Moshe says, if the earth swallows up everybody, swallows them up, and they die an unusual death, then Hashem sent me. And if it didn't, Hashem didn't send me. The earth swallows everybody up, except for Korach. What happens here? Right? Both groups, one going against Aaron, one going against Moshe. You have this demonstration, these amazing demonstrations, the fire going out, kills everybody, brought the Torahs, except for Aaron and Korach. The earth swallows up everybody in the camp against Moshe, Dasan Aviram, and everybody with them, except for Korach. Okay? How do you explain that? How do you explain that? Why is Korach the one leading it? If he was really wrong and Moshe and Aaron were really right, why is right? The whole point is God's going to choose. Everybody's Makavek Torahs. And whoever gets, all of a sudden, who's left over? Just Korach is left over. How do you explain why is Korach left over? If he was really wrong, why didn't he get killed? He should have got killed twice and said he wasn't killed at all. And Korach walks away unscathed. What is Klai supposed to, what do they say to that whole thing? How do they interpret that? They had a choice. Okay? They could have said, right? Apparently Korach was right. Now, how did everybody die? Okay, so if you look at the Ramban, the Ramban's not learning like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, I just want to take just from the Ramban the fact that even after these demonstrations of all the fire going out, killing 250 people, the Ramban quotes Ibn Ezra that they were still saying they didn't believe.
They didn't.
Well, no,
they're still alive.
They didn't believe that like Aaron was chosen. No. He's not learning like Rabbi Yochanan. I'm just taking the fact that it's possible, even after all this, they cannot be convinced. Okay, it's not fully like the Ramban, because Ramban says the swallowing up of the earth did convince them of that aspect. Okay, but I just want to show you one thing.
But it didn't convince them of what?
Just show you the types of rationalizations you can use.
But it didn't convince them of what?
Of the strength. Listen, says Rabbi Avram, Ibn Ezra says, Amar Ma Raya, it's Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Zayin, I believe. Vav and Zayin. He's trying to explain why the next day, after these wonderful demonstrations, Vayhim and Macharas, right? Vayilona Koyso B'nei Shalmi, Macharas on Moshe V'Aaron Lemur, Atta Misa V'Sam Hashem. Why are they accusing Moshe and Aaron of killing the Am Hashem? So the Benezer tries to explain. He says, Ma Raya Zusha Shevi Levi Nivchar, V'Nivchar Aaron Lekoyen Gadol. Maybe it was your chachma, Moshe. Maybe it was your tefillah. And Ban says, they didn't really believe it.
And why did they refer to it as the nation of God?
Because they're saying, you're killing Am Hashem. They accused Moshe of being responsible for killing Am Hashem.
That's the nation.
Is it Klal Yisrael? The holy nation?
Kulam
Kedoshim? You caused their misa. Right,
they killed
Klal
Yisrael.
They caused it.
No, it's not a nation.
From the Am Hashem. Oh, you mean why is he the whole Am?
Yeah.
Good question, I don't know.
I think my uncle addressed it in a shoe.
Okay, good. But we'll see it afterwards, okay? Okay. And Ramban says that's why they needed the Mata, right? The stick of Aaron, the Mata Aaron and Sheva Levi. Raya, right? Is a Raya, the Ramban says. The fact they needed that at the end of Parshas Korach, the whole Mata to be Porech, the sprout. Raya shlo aminu ha'am b'sreifa zo shenivchor levim v'huchlevu b'chor zeim. Rachashu ki Moshe v'Aaron gar m'sreifa, Moshe and Aaron caused it. O she'a onish b'ktora sh'aysa eish zara, she'lo tziva osam, like Nadav and Avihu, these people brought the ketoras. And ketoras ara ha'isa b'ketoras ha'boker, kashe p'rashti, Ramban's theory that the ketoras that Aaron brought was the ketoras of the shacharis. So Aaron brought the right one. Moshe set them all up by bringing the Ketorah Zara. They all got burnt.
Who says this?
Ramban. Okay, you're very excited, I understand, but hold on. Okay?
I knew it!
Okay, so they're claiming you set them up. Okay, so there. What was their response?
The Ramban saying that that's what they claim.
Yes.
Or not that's what Moshe did.
No.
Oh.
Okay. So what happens the next day? After this whole demonstration, the earth swallowing them up and the fire going out.
How did they explain that?
Ramban says they couldn't explain that, okay? Because Ramban's not like Rabbi Yochanan, okay? But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Korach survives both of them. And are there ways of rationalizing and explaining why there was a fire and there was an earth swallowing it up? You can come up with anything, okay? Paro, after the 10 Makos, okay? And after seeing Klal Yisrael. 10 Makos. Makos Bechoros. Okay.
He said it was like quicksand or something like that. Some like weird desert phenomenon. They wouldn't know. They never lived in the desert. What do you mean? Let's say there was something underneath the earth or something and then it just collapsed. Who knows?
But if you look in there, I'm bound by Paro.
Only these evil people got sucked in and all the property and only them.
That's legitimate point.
Okay, Ramban on Perek Yedalad, Pasuk Dalad, and Bishalach.
So how did they explain it?
He says...
why are we assuming they explained it again?
Hold on. Back to the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Ramban, listen, he says, Bavur Shepachad Paro, Mehem Bamakas Bechoros. He was so afraid, he says, Birachtem Gamosi, Lohoye Beliba Lirdef Acharem, Afilu Yivchur, if they go away, Elayas and Moshe Behem Kirtzono. At that point, he wanted Moshe to do whatever he wants. He had to be strengthened. He had to have the elaborate ruse. Plus, he had to be strengthened by God. And it says, why? Kibir osim shenikra yam lifnei bnei Yisrael v'himochem v'yabash v'socho. When the sea is split and they're going in the middle, eich yimlayim liba lava achareim lahar lahem. How could you go in to follow afterwards? You can chase Christ. That's crazy. V'im b'chol mosin kapel says one of the most amazing mofes of the whole thing. The biggest miracle is the fact they chased them. It's insanity. It's foolishness, total foolishness, part of the nace. Okay? But basically, it is how did it occur? Through these rationalizations. And it's true, the case of the Yam Suf is probably the most extreme case you'll get of this. But a person's ability to rationalize something when they are motivated, when they have an emotional motivation, they have an agenda, their ability to explain away phenomena, if you give them something to grab onto, is incredible. Okay? After everything they saw, the Egyptians, the 10 Makos and Makos Bechoros, and the Kriyas Yamsuf, they still have this theory of this one stupid idol, Baal Tzifon. Your whole framework has been totally destroyed. This stupid piece of wood, this is the one god that's too strong, nothing can take it down. It's drawing them all into, why is it ending up right over here? Do you know what I mean? Well, how could you explain that? There's no way to explain it. It must be this god is stronger than their god, and it's telling them all to come into this area. And why is the Yam Suf being split? I don't know. That's kind of funny. That's a little weird how you explain why the Yam Suf is being split. We'll figure that out later. You know, you discard evidence that goes against your theory. You explain it later. And then the evidence that supports your theory, you spin into a whole concoction. And as opposed to, what was the rational thing to say? Look. We were wrong, okay? We would get the 10 Makos was good evidence. We've been falsified. All our gods are wiped out. Why is Baal Tzifon around? I don't know. It's a good question.
Well, that's pretty convincing.
Maybe it's a setup. Maybe God's setting us up. That's possible. He doesn't seem to like us very much, okay? Maybe he's setting us up. I don't know. Or maybe there's some other explanation. There comes a point, there are certain times where the rational thing to say is, I don't know. But my overall knowledge tells me Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah. We heard Hashem say to him, "The Gam B'chol Yaminu La'olam." He went into the Anan on Har Sinai, right? He's the Shliach Neman. He gave us all these things. The earth swallowed up the entire Eda. This fire comes out, kills everybody. Why is Korach still around? Good question. I don't know. It's a problem. Okay, it's a problem. Now, is it an absolute? Something is wrong. The demonstration was not absolute. It left you them a makom, a place to rationalize, to be able to wiggle out of the evidence, okay? And what it did was, it gave them bechira. It gave them an opportunity, if they wanted to rationalize it away, and say, really, Koch is right. And Moshe and Aaron are the one who are killing everybody, who are responsible for setting everybody up. They could do it. There was a place for the irrationality to rationalize and to explain and to justify their emotions. How really Korach is their leader? he's going to make them all kulam kedoshim. They're all going to get the avoda. And Moshe and Aaron are the one who are really taking up authority for no good reason. He's taking the malchus. His brother getting kulam kedoshim. What they emotionally wanted to be true, it gave them a place, a way to justify it. And they had free will. Because God wanted them to choose Moshe as the Shliach Neman and Aaron as the Kohen Gadol based upon free will, that they chose this is what's real. This is what's right. I have enough information. They had enough information at this point from everything they'd seen up to this point. Moshe doing the Eser Makos and Har Sinai, v'gam b'chol yaminu l'olam, and the swallowing of the whole earth and the fire. They had enough. They should rationally be able to say, good, I have a question. Why is Korach? There's problems. There are problems in terms of is Moshe the absolute Shliach Neman? Well, why is Korach around? I don't know. I have questions. You're not going to necessarily be able to answer every single question. If you want to know Moshe's the Shliach Neman from Hashem, you might have isolated problems. Okay? But that does not give you the right to throw out the Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Emes with Torah so Emes. Yeah, but what about this? Here's a problem. How do you explain that? I don't know. There might be a problem here in the Torah, a problem there in the Torah. How do I identify this pasuk? What's it doing here? This pasuk, what's it doing there? This seems like a contradiction. I don't know. It's called a question.
No one's ever done it.
V'gambacha, exactly. V'gambacha yaminu lo'olam. We have enough evidence from what they witnessed with their eyes to be able to make a rational conclusion. And is there, if you're emotionally motivated to wiggle out of the Torah and to set up the system of Avodas Hashem the way your religious emotion wants you to, could you do it? Yes, there's always going to be a way for a person who wants to rationalize away the mitzvah HaTorah and the mitzvah of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, there's a way to do it. Because you have free will. And God specifically works in a way to set up free will. He set it up for Paro. It's the whole Ramban's theory of Mitzrayim and the Chazik Hashem is Leif Paro. And he wanted it by Klal Yisrael, by Korach. Okay? And he gave it to them the whole night, overnight, just like that first night they had Korach seducing them. They had the second night they had Korach in front of them, and they had another opportunity that night to choose to say, Korach, you're the one who's got everybody killed. And Moshe and Aaron, you're our leaders, you're honest, you're the ones who were working for us the whole time, and Korach was the evil person. And they had free will. Now, they chose improperly, okay? Because Vayilonu, that's exactly what happened. Vayilonu, Koloi, the Eda, Moshe Aaron, Vamar, Atanamisim, Esam Hashem. So they did not choose properly. They chose basically with Korach again. And they said, Moshe and Aaron, you're the ones who killed them all. I don't know how you did it. You davened, you had your chachma, you set up with the ketores. I would say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, not like the Ramban, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the swallowing of the earth, I don't know how you pulled that trick off either, okay? But Korach is clearly, Hashem is singling him out to be the guy. Okay, Korach is clearly the guy. And you, Moshe and Aaron, are the ones who are chayiv for killing them. Okay? And that's why God basically says to a second time, he says to Moshe and Aaron, he says, Vayhi b'hakel eida al Moshe Aaron, vayifne l'moi, vayhi kiso anon, vayir kvod Hashem, right? And Hashem says to them, Hey, ro mitoch eida zos, v'achala sam karaga, v'yipla panehem. And Moshe says, Hey, chala negev. How does the plague stop? Right, the plague that's killing everybody, including Korach, because they're basically a total failure. Total failure of Klal Yisrael's Bechira. How does the plague stop? By Moshe telling Aaron, take some ketores and go out to the people, and vayichaper la'am. Okay, and then Aaron goes out through the tziva of Moshe and places the ketores. Okay, and that's what's mechaper, and that's what ultimately stops the magefa. Right? Why is this the method of stopping the magefa? Because basically it proves three things. It proves that, first of all, the ketores is not just simply this thing that just killed those 250 people like Nadav and Avihu. Right? Rashi says earlier, it's like the sam maves. Ramban also says, that's like this poisonous thing. Nadav and Avihu died from the ketores. You set up these 250 people to die with the ketores. The ketores is mechaper. The ketores, it depends how you use it. You use it properly, it could kill. You use it improperly, it could save lives.
That doesn't make sense because they saw that Aaron didn't die.
Aaron and Korach.
Right.
Yeah, okay, it's true. But still, they were being Mirani and Acha the Ketores. How did they explain Aaron? I don't know. Because that was the Ketores Shel Shachris, like the Ramban says. This was a Harash Shah Ketores. This wasn't the Ketores. It was Bechutz, right? This was Bechutz. It wasn't
so by Korach.
I think that one might have been in the... That was the Ketores Shel Shachris.
Also Korach.
Oh, Korach. I mean, why is Korach alive?
Yeah.
Good question. Okay, good question. I don't know. Yeah, it's just a question. Just a question.
Yeah, just for the free will.
That's the thing. Exactly. Exactly. Okay. They rationalize that away, too. But it shows you, number one, is the Ketores could save and could kill. It shows you that Aaron is the Kohen who's Mechaper, and he's doing it on the Tzivah of Moshe. Okay? Basically, it was the final demonstration which convinced them. Now, it wasn't... I mean, I guess when they stopped dying, you know, it didn't seem like they had a choice. I think at that point, it was simply Midas HaRachamim to allow them, once they got into their head, probably when Korach died, and Aaron was the one who's Mechaper for them through the Ketores, but on the Tzivah of Moshe, it was in their face and they could no longer deny it. It wasn't the way it should have been. It wasn't through Bechira. It was through the Magepha killing Korach, right? The Magepha was... killed Korach and all the people who followed after him. And basically you had to root out all those people, you know, a lot of people who followed Korach. And it had to be stopped by the Tzivah of Moshe and Aaron and the Ketores. But it would seem to me that what it did was it basically beat it into their heads that Aaron's the one chosen by God. Korach was a shakron. Moshe is the one who has the right to give the Tzivah. And this Ketores was not just a setup. The Ketores was the method that Hashem chose in order to make his demonstration of who's the real Kohen Gadol, who's not. But it was not, that was not ideal.
I don't think you can say the last thing.
The guitarist thing?
Yeah.
Okay, let's let the guitarist thing go.
So are you saying that the reason why Korach didn't die until the Megiddo was in order so that the other people can have a chance?
It was for Klai Yisrael to have free will. So they could choose to reject Korach and accept Moshe and Aaron. They had a whole night. They had a whole night, 24 hours, to choose again and to reach a conclusion. And they thought about it. And the conclusion they reached was Moshe and Aaron are killing everybody. And Korach is legit. And that was when the Magepha started.
It's pretty bad.
But look, I mean, it was a Magepha to destroy all of Klal Yisrael. And had the Kapara not worked, had Moshe's, you know, and Aaron and the Ketores not been Mechaper, they would have all been killed.
And so it was for...
They were Chaimis. The whole Klal Yisrael was Chaimis. It was a big sin.
So it was for a chance for them to do Tshuva.
It gave them opportunity to choose to reject Korach through their own free will. But they failed, and ultimately they rejected Korach because he died, and because Moshe and Aaron saved them from the Magepha. And it became obvious and clear, and there was no muckum to rationalize
it.
I think you can still rationalize that.
They couldn't. Okay.
Why should they have been saved?
Why should it mean you want to kill them?
Yeah.
It was Midas HaRachamim. I mean, at that point, because they did. Because with Korach dying, and with Korach dying and Aaron's Ketores saving them, they were able to accept Moshe and Aaron and reject Korach.
Not through Bechira, though.
No. It was in their face, and they couldn't deny it anymore. Now, it was sufficient to allow them to continue to exist. Now, was it the ideal? No, it was not the ideal. Ideally, they would have done it through Bechira when they had the opportunity. It's a much lower level. Okay, it was a much lower level.
So would you say that it's Shiva? Or it's just a Mechaper?
Yeah, maybe it seems like it's a Mechaper. I don't know. It could be, look, it could be there's Tshuva, just not through Bechira. Do you know what I mean?
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Isn't Bechira inherent in part Tshuva?
Yeah. No.
Well,
I disagree with that.
A full Tshuva, at least.
No.
So it's in the Tshuva Gemara? No, it's in the Rambam's Tshuva.
No, I mean, the Rambam brings down Bechira and Perek Zion. I mean, Tshuva is...
It's Negro and Eva.
Look, I mean, there's such a thing as just Tshuva, is a person suffers so much. He rejects his old ways and he goes back onto the right path because of just the suffering. It's a basic level of tshuva.
It's not Gemara, but...
It's really not Gemara, and it's, you know...
Would you say that they would have Chelek Olam Haba?
They don't have Chelek Olam Haba.
We
don't
have
They had whatchamacallit. The Adas whatchamacallit.
Who am I going to hang out with?
The Dora Midbar, they don't have Chelek Olam Haba. Or Rabbi Akiva.
Really?
What? Rabbi Akiva.
Because of Meraglim,
yeah. They already lost the Chelek Olam Haba. That's what Korach played on. That was Korach's whole argument. You're not getting Eretz Yisrael. You're not getting Chelek Olam Haba. What do you have to lose here?
This was
after the Meraglim?
This is right after the Meraglim. That was Korach's whole move. That's what gave him the opening. They would never...
No way. This is the first time I heard of it. Really?
Give a shir about the fate of the Dor HaMidbar. They argue.
You never give a shit.
Yeah, it's called the Feder
Amidbar. To us, you never give a shit.
No, never? Are you sure?
I'm positive. You have to give it, you have to give it again. I really want to listen to it.
It's possible you prepared it.
No, the Mesor argues in Bikiva. They say you're Shavacha Chasiduse. What the Mesor, except for Bikiva's son, he held by him. No, but the other Tanaim, they said they have their Dorish Apasuk. Because, okay, you listen to this year.
No, okay. I want this in person.
Oh, that's a shame. Okay. So. So this is really, they had the opportunity for Bechira. I would say it's Shuva without Bechira. It's not Shuva Gemura, certainly, and it's not the highest level, but it was sufficient. It was sufficient for them to continue to exist with the Kapara. That's listen, you can work out this whole last part. Maybe you can work it out better. What happened here?
What's the question?
What has it exactly does Rabbi Yochanan? He doesn't give us very much. You know, I'm kind of making up for Rabbi Yochanan how the Kapara worked, how it worked. Look, the main thing we have the right to derive from Rabbi Yochanan is what was the purpose of Korach staying overnight? Is it what motivated Rabbi Yochanan? He's trying to explain, I think what's bothering Rabbi Yochanan and why he's better than everybody else, okay, is because he's explaining where they're coming from. How could they say after everything they saw, Atam Hamisim Esam Hashem? And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, I'll tell you how, because Korach wasn't dead. This is how they came to that conclusion. Because there's Korach against Moshe and Aaron and they chose wrong. But if Korach is dead, it's very difficult to understand how they could have thought that. Look what the Ramban comes up with. It's true, that was Ketar Shel Shacharis, but what about the earth swallowing everybody up? The Ramban can't even work out that. Ramban says he cannot work out that. That they had to accept. But Rabbi Yochanan, I think, can explain that also, better than the Ramban. Now, it's true Rabbi Yochanan is against Pshat the Pasuk. Ramban's not going to go that far. That's one problem. But you see what's motivating Rabbi Yochanan, and he's explaining this whole Magefa. What motivates a tremendous problem in the Pesukim? The Pshat, see, there's two types of Pshat problems. Pshat is the words of the Pasuk. The words of the Pasuk kind of go against Rabbi Yochanan. Mm-hmm. Okay? But then there's just the concept of the story. It's nonsensical. How people can come after what they just saw the day before and come up to Moshe and Aaron and say, you're killing them. The earth just swallowed a Korach and those whole Eda up. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if Korach is still alive, then I can understand how people could come to that conclusion. Because Korach is still alive, everybody else is dead except for Korach. It's a pretty good indication that Korach is legit. Yeah, go ahead.
Also, aside for the fact of giving everyone else a choice, it also gives everyone, it also gives the chance of everyone recognizing it through Korach, meaning like Paro and Nineveh.
That through Korach, that one, go ahead.
Meaning through Korach, meaning he'll help them, meaning they'll still have the choice with him alive. Let's have the choice of Korach's alive. Even if Korach is saying, I was wrong, they'll still say, you're alive. So the choice was still open.
For them.
Right, but it would help if the leader of the movement said, I was wrong.
I don't think there's any indication that Korach thought he was wrong, according to Bielsa.
Right, which is why he died in Magefa.
Right. Okay, good. Yeah, right. For sure.
And that parallels the thing with Paro.
That what?
He was kept alive. Right. So when it comes to Nineveh.
The Medrash, that he was the only one alive. Okay, that's good.
The what?
It's a medrash that Paro of Elonisha Ad Echad, that Paro was left alive. He was the king of Nineveh.
Really?
Yeah, it's a medrash like that. Rashi in the Torah doesn't bring it down. I'm not sure. I don't know if he brings it down in Tanakh.
He didn't hold of that medrash.
But whatever. Just because Rashi doesn't bring it down doesn't mean it's not legit. Okay, good? Okay, so what's the point that we can derive, okay, for us, is this point, is that the Yisod of the Torah, of Moshe Emes with Terasso Emes, okay, it's you always, if you have, and you're going to have emotions, an emotional motivation to rationalize the Torah, to try to wiggle out of the Torah. Okay, and even if you have enough evidence that rationally you can be convinced, there are going to be isolated problems that are going to be difficult. You're not necessarily going to be able to answer to Moshe Emes with Terasso Emes. Okay, but just because there are problems, a person it has to be reasonable. And he has to sometimes say, I can't answer that problem. Why is Balzaphon left standing? I don't know. But I've seen enough to convince me that the God of the Jews is legitimate. Moshe is his shliach. I've seen enough. Okay, and God gave the Torah. I've seen enough. Are there problems? Yes. Maybe one day I'll be able to explain it. Okay, and then this is really the yisod of Parshas Korach, according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, and it was what God was trying to teach Bnei Yisrael. But we're an Ankshe Orf, and it wasn't so easy for us. Okay.
I don't. Right. You seem to be making like it's a virtue to be able to.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not really saying that the Torah was designed specifically in a way where there are
questions.
Like Christian. Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there are Just the reality is, there's they're always going to be. This is the way the world is.
Yeah.
Is there always going to be problems? Nothing is absolute. Okay, there are always going to be problems, and anything you try to prove, there's going to be a question. It's a very important skill, and this is why we learn Gemara. Okay, this is one of the very important methodology of thinking things we learn. It's very important in to train your mind to understand the difference between a kasha and a tiyufta. What's a kasha and what's a tiyufta? When do you have a problem with a shita? Maybe I'll be able to answer it. I'm not going to reject the shita. And the Gemara, very often, we poskei like a shita, where Gemara says kasha, I don't have an answer for you. Okay? Tiyufta means you get knocked out. Because you have to be learned to train your mind to be able to distinguish when does a theory been invalidated, it's clearly wrong. Sometimes one question can invalidate a whole theory. One question. Sometimes you can have 20 questions and the theory still stands because those are 20 questions you have to be able to develop, and this is the methodology of thought. This is why we learn Gemara. One of the reasons is to be able to distinguish different types of questions. Okay? And I'm not saying that God specifically made the Torah in a way where there's going to be problems. I think intrinsically, you're always going to have anything.
With knowledge itself.
Every area of knowledge, there's always room for skeptical and radical doubt. You can always, maybe, you know, the whole world is, just one demon trying to, you know, Descartes, Cartesian devil. Uh-huh. You can always have that. It's there's no way to escape radical doubt, and even not as radical. There are doubts. There are sphagos in the world. And you have to be able to recognize what's Akasha, and I have enough evidence to accept the Torah and accept Moshe Rabbeinu, and those things are just questions. Okay, and then because there is room, I'm not saying that's why God made it, but I'm saying that does create an aspect of Bechira, the fact that you could rationalize it away, and now you have, that's part of what your free will is being able to choose to follow what's reasonable and rejecting a question, not letting your emotions, sway you to the other way. Yeah.
So free will is whether you see the hag or the princess in that picture, the picture which you can see the other one.
I don't know if I would define that as free will. It might be just like a neurological thing.
No, I know in that case, but in terms of...
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm saying that it's clear. It should have been clear to Paro that Baal Tzifon was nonsense. And it should have been clear to Bnei Yisrael that Moshe and Aaron were legit. I, Korach, was still alive. I, Baal Tzifon, was still standing. I'm saying that a person knows how to think, who's not being influenced by his emotions, will clearly say that's just a question.
Yeah.
It's the emotional desire of Paro that he wanted his money, and Bnei Yisrael, they wanted the avoda, and they wanted they didn't like it. They resented Moshe because of the Meraglim, that they took them away from Eretz Yisrael. They had no chelik olam haba, at least in their minds, according to everybody, and they wanted the avoda.
According to everybody, they thought they didn't have.
According to everybody, they thought they had no chelik olam haba. Question is, did they ultimately have?
Oh,
but they knew they had no chelik olam. They were told there was a shura that they wouldn't have it.
Okay. Who told them that?
Moshe told him that. That's in the pasuk.
He was wrong, according to Chachamim.
What?
According to Chachamim, he was wrong.
No, the shvua ashenishbati ba'api im yavuna menuchasi. The shvua ba'af.
So
charata, because you can mati the shvua.
God mati his own shvua.
Yeah, okay. Don't worry about it.
Only for the band.
Don't worry about it. Okay, that's the other shir. Okay, the door, Fedor Medbar. You'll look at it.
Well, they
okay?
did shuva.
Okay, exactly.
They did shuva, so it was mater.
Okay, any further questions?
A separate question.
No.
Separate question.
There's a statement that I would like to...
I don't know if it's more like a close kasha or anything, but you keep mentioning that at a certain point you have enough evidence in order to distinguish between like a question and like a whole knockout of your
theory.
Your framework.
Right.
Yeah, of your theory. What's considered enough evidence? Just are we just saying that this the mind recognizes when you have that, or what does that mean?
I say it's like how does the Gemara know whether to say kasha or tiyufta? I mean that's part of it's part of there's two aspects. One is training your mind in order to be able to tell the difference, and that's I think comes from learning Gemara. Okay, look, it could also come from developing a methodology of thought. I don't think it's unique to Gemara. I just think Gemara happens to be very good at training that. So that there's no one minute answer to that, the intellectual thing, and it's even if you have the intellectual ability, then you have to be emotionally honest. You have to be able to think without letting your emotions influence your thought. I think the far bigger thing is learning how to be, to think and being intellectually honest and not letting your emotions sway your thinking. And I say learning Gemara also does that, teaches you that. It doesn't just teach you the intellectual virtue of how to, you know, be able to decide purely intellectually. Is when you learn Gemara, especially you learn with the Chavrusa, a lot of emotions come up. You know what I mean? Your Sfarah versus his Sfarah. Or you got, you know, your Rebbe is saying something that you prepare something different in Shir, and you have a problem with authority, and you don't like the Rebbe telling you what to think. And you have to be able to use your mind to decide, you know, is the Rebbe's Sfarah good? Is your Chavrusa's Sfarah good? Even though it's not what you said. And that's a very important part of learning, is not just the purely intellectual virtues, but being able to be honest intellectually and not let your emotions cloud your judgment, and being able to develop an intuition. Because look, I think in terms of the science of Kashan Tiyufta, there are basic rules and basic intellectual principles, but like I do think ultimately there's an element of intuition involved. And if your emotions are involved, your intuition gets screwed up. You have to learn how to separate to free your intuition from your emotions.
No.
Or else you're not going to be able to. I don't think it's going to be a mathematical formula, Kasha versus Tiyufta. There is going to be an element of intuition involved. Well, it's
right.
There. It's in thinking.
So,
yeah.
Based on that, if it's such a like a rigorous process to train yourself to distinguish between these things, then
it's both.
How could all these people be held accountable for like not doing this, like Paro and Bnei Yisrael following Korach and stuff? Like it sounds like.
Well, look, because when it's subtle,
when
it's like a subtle problem, then it's you know you need the training. You have to be able to decide. But sometimes it's not so subtle. Sometimes when you know God splits the sea, you know He kills every firstborn. Hail with fire. It's enough water to blood. There's enough that why is that one idol left standing? You should be able, anybody,
as my uncle says, it's not proof,
you know,
that it's binding.
Any person who's mentally, you know, not completely deficient should be able to tell that that's just a kasha. That's just a problem. You know? Now look, that's a very obvious case. Okay? Okay, it's a very obvious case. And in the case of Bnei Yisrael, you know, the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed everybody up. That's fairly obvious also. You know, but, you know, not every case is as obvious. You know, so I'm saying is in these cases, you're held accountable for when it should be within your ability. Okay, but practically, some cases aren't so obvious. And then, you know, the more you learn Gemara, you develop your mind, the more cases will be within your ability. But I still think the far harder thing is learning is the intellectual honesty and not letting your emotion dictate your thought is the far bigger fact. I think most people for most cases, they can determine. If it weren't for the fact that they're emotionally biased, I don't know. Maybe not most people for most cases. Some people for some cases.
I don't know.
That's a good question. It's a good question. Just how the intellectual virtues are, how much training you really need. I'm not sure.
I think it happens all the time.
That way that you need that you it's difficult or you can
no,
do it.
And to quote the great Ayn Rand, she said, "Free will is the choice to think or not, to be conscious or not."
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, what you're, and if you look at all the erroneous things that people things that people believe,
right?
Meaning to everyone else, it's like, how could you think that?
Right.
I mean, this is with everything.
I don't think it's just one time.
I think this is an all big thing. It's whether the person chooses to recognize the truth or ignore and deny
and rationalize it away to support the emotional world they want to live. Yeah. I agree. It's very common. I agree. Okay, good. Answer the question, Sammy. Sort of. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Okay, guys.